We're going to start with Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The second reading is from Acts chapter 9. I can get my fingers to work. All right. Chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. And the third reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13 through 2-3. Okay. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Let your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform with the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who calls you is holy, be so holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that were redeemed when the empty way of life handed down from you, from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. There you go. Thank you.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God, huh? Thank you, Kathy. We better pray since I'm back. Let's go to God on our prayers. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the amazing group of people that you've gathered here today, for their willingness to help in all that they do. We thank you especially for all the moms that are here, for all those who have made their presence known in this world through the raising of their children and through their guidance. We thank you this morning that we come before you seeking your wisdom and knowledge, your guidance in how and what we should do with our lives and how we should live and better carry out the will of God. Help us in all we do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I found a list, and it was called the Murphy's Laws of Parenting. I thought maybe you ladies could relate to a little bit here today. So here's nine things. I want you to listen to them real quick. So these are the rules, the Murphy's Laws of Parenting. The later you stay up, the earlier your child will wake up the next morning. The gooier the food, the more likely it is to end up on the carpet. Or the longer it takes for you to make a meal, the less your child's going to like it. Or a sure way to get something done is to tell a child not to do it. My mother knew that one very well. And for a child to become clean, well, something else must become dirty. Toys multiply to fill any space available. And yours is always a child who doesn't behave. And if the shoe fits, it's expensive. And backing the car out of a driveway causes your child to have to go to the bathroom. Do any of these strike any point? Can you relate with any of them? All the above, right? So when I was preparing this week, I found one story that I really had to chuckle about when I got to reading it. It was about a mom. Her name was Mary Jane Kurtz. And she wrote about this one particular Sunday morning. It says, so she was a divorced mom, and she had four children that she had to get ready. And it was always a real challenge on Sunday mornings for her to get ready. So one morning, they're getting up, and she's getting after the children and trying to explain to them all the good reasons why you should have a good attitude about going to church and get ready so we can go as a family and worship God. And she's stomping around, and all of a sudden, she happens to notice over the corner, and all the kids are over there, and they're kind of giggling. And she gets this real suspicious mind thinking, what's with these children? So she goes over and she asks, so what's going on, kids? And they're kind of laughing. She says, well, Mom, you know, every time you stomp around here, dust flies from your shoes. I think it's the wrath of God. Well, in reality, it was just talcum powder she put in her shoes, and every time she stomped it, it puffed up. So this morning, I'm not telling you ladies to put talcum powder in your shoes. Maybe it'll help get your children better. It's just something I thought I'd better share with you. There are ways of getting your children to cooperate. But as children, and as Mother's Day coming, as I was looking to shop and I was looking for a card for Bonnie, and I got reading all these different cards. And one really, really struck home with me. And I thought, I bet a lot of guys can relate to this. It said, our son just says, so it read like this and said, forget the housework, Mom. It's your day. Besides, you can always do double duty and catch up on Monday. I really expect most of you moms can relate to that. We have a tendency to take our moms for granted. Guilty as charged. When I thought about this, and then I got picking out my scriptures for this week, and I really tended towards 1 Peter in the 22nd verse, where he says, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Well, isn't that really the perfect text for this Mother's Day? To love one another deeply from the heart. So when I got looking at this story in Acts, and I think about this scene, this scenario, and it's not unlike what we do today. So here when we're looking at Acts, so we have the story of this woman who died. Her name was Tabitha, known as Dorcas. And if you want to know what Dorcas means, it's actually a description. It's called, refers to a deer. So a beautiful, sleek woman, I'm taking it. And anyway, and she dies. And so what do? They lay her body out, and so all the grievers can come. And they have a chance to reminisce with one another. And they tell of all the good memories of how they reminded of her. You know, you can almost hear them coming in the room. And they all filled with questions when they show up, because she shouldn't have died. And she's like, so she was such a good woman. You know, she never forgot anything. She was always so kind and generous and everything. How could this possibly happen? What did happen? Can you almost hear them conversations when you read this account that we read in Acts? And as I thought about that, it's like, it's not unlike what happens here. I mean, don't we do the same thing when we go to the funeral parlor, or maybe we come to a chapel, or even at the grave sites? And maybe they, because sometimes when we lay the bodies out, they're out there and for all of us to see. And I think about it, we're out there to see, and what are we really there for? We're there to what? Support one another, right? So here she lay. The scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about who she was. It doesn't give us any lines of what she said. But what it does tell us is that they laid her out on a bed. They called for a little help. They wanted the pastor to come. They wanted Peter to come. He was in Lydia, and he wanted them to come to Joppa, just a few miles away, and see if he would come. So while they're there, they're all reminiscing and remembering this woman. And what did they do? How did they do that? They didn't have, if we go to funeral parlor, what do we have? We usually have a picture boards, or if we have something in our community building, sometimes we'll put up on the screen, we have a video or something that goes through all the memories of life of how someone has touched our lives. I've been thinking about that, and I'm thinking, okay, so what's going on here? Can you imagine when Peter finally shows up, they take up the room, and they're all saying, well, she was such a wonderful woman. How could this happen to her? And they want answers from Peter, and they want him to pray over her. And what do? They not only tell him their stories of how Tabitha had touched their lives, they also show him how generous she was in the clothes they were wearing. Maybe one woman says, see this beautiful shawl? She gave this to me on my birthday. She never forgot birthdays. Or maybe another one had a robe that she was wearing. She says, oh, and this robe, she made this for me. Well, not really. I went and visited her, and when I showed up, she looked at me, and I commented on how beautiful the robe was. And she held it up to me and said, oh, that must be an exact fit. You must have it. Here we see this generous woman who we're not told a word that she ever spoke, but we're told of her kindness, of the things that she's left behind how she's being remembered. Then of all things, here comes Peter. Great apostle Peter. He shows up, comes in, and they ask him, what's he going to do? Just come upstairs. We need you to pray over this body, to be with us. And he gets there. They're showing us all these treasures that Tabitha had given to all those that she loved and those she was surrounded with. And what's Peter do? He's quite the cuss. He kicks them all out of the room. Can you imagine that? I could just imagine now. If I were to go to a funeral home and everybody's there, we got a great big crowd, I close the doors, you guys all leave. What would they say? I think they'd be a little upset. But there's been times when I've gone to viewings and people wanted a moment alone with the body, usually before we take it out for a funeral, before we bury it. Maybe they have some words that they want to say, something they want to tell them, something that they need to get rid of, to get off their chest, or things they may maybe be thankful for that they don't want an audience there to hear. So I thought about this. I'm thinking, is this what Peter was doing? And I thought, no, that's not what Peter's doing. What is Peter doing? I'm certain what's going through Peter's mind is what he saw Jesus do. You remember that story back when Jesus and his disciples were out and Jairus comes and he says, Jesus, I want you to come and heal my daughter. What's Jesus do? He agrees. He goes to Jairus' house. He goes in the bedroom and they're in there and they're all weeping and wailing. What's Jesus tell them to do? Everybody out. You guys get out of here. Except for that few disciples, and Peter was one of them. I'm certain Peter's remembering what Jesus did. So what's Peter do? He chases them all out of the room. He does what Jesus did. And he says to her, he prays over her and he says, Tabitha, get up. I thought about that so many times and I didn't write this in my sermon I put out there, but I'm thinking, what was the expression on Peter's face when that happened? What could he possibly be thinking? He's thinking, wow, what a wonderful God we have. Look at this. This woman sits up, her eyes are opened. Can you imagine that feeling, that excitement in him when he sees God at work? That same kind of work that can happen in our lives if only we believe. But then I thought about that. I think, so what's Peter do? He takes her by the hand, and he walks out the door, and I can just envision him as they're arm in arm going down the stairway back to greet all the others and their excitement. How thrilled they are. Instead of having that silent moment when they can say something to her, maybe in confidence, now they can actually hug her. Thank her for all the gifts, all the treasures she's left behind. And once he's done that, so Peter's now, I bet he thought he's out of the limelight. He could sneak out of his house. I bet he couldn't. I bet there was people there that resisted him, wanted him to stay. But Peter wanted to leave. But when in his leaving, what did they have? What did Peter leave behind? The same thing he's left behind on his journeys as a disciple, as we are disciples. He left healed bodies, saved souls, people that have hope. I think that's the real question we have to ask today when we look at our scriptures. It's one thing we need to recognize, especially on this Mother's Day. What are the things that she leaves behind? What are the things we need to remember? How about all the endless love that we've received from our moms, from our fellow Christians? What have we all received from what Christ has done for us? What did he leave behind? He left us the hope of salvation, didn't he? What did it say in when I read this again, when we read this again, it says in Isaiah, he said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. For by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep who have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what we don't want to do, especially on this Mother's Day, is to take our moms for granted, do we? We don't want to take that saving grace that Christ has given us for granted. Let's remember the good works that have been left behind and love each other deeply. Let's pray together. Father, this Mother's Day, we do thank you for all the good things that, and the good works that those who have gone before us have left behind. Especially for our moms. For those in our church that have left for us a pathway to show your love and your grace. Help us to be those people who love one another deeply and do it from the heart. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.